Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but how to make you successful. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for sharing the show with the friends. If you are listening to this show on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network, on the social media sites, please give it a share, give it a tag, give it a like, give it a little hearty love thing. I love those. It really helps the algorithms know that you love watching this show. I appreciate the comments. I try to get back to all of them that are on the social media sites and also the ones that reach out to me directly, either through direct message at How to Build a Tent on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. Yeah, I got my social media sites confused. And then you can also email me, matthowtobuildatent.com. If you don't do the social media thing for some reason, I don't know, like, what is it? Like the 1% of the population doesn't have a social media site. I totally made that up. I don't know. Today we're going to be talking about a topic that one of you asked me to talk about. And what should you know before you buy a house? So we're going to just go through some thoughts that I jotted down, go through some calculators to help you decide if you are ready to buy a home and what to look for once you decide you are ready to buy a home. But before we get into that topic, go over to fightlaughfeast.com and be part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network by subscribing. You get a cool HTBT mug like the one I'm drinking out of, and like a lot of you have, if you put that in the memo field and you subscribe. You get tons of great content that this network's putting out by all of the shows that are on the network. You get, they're putting out content, and it's just such a great, so blah, blah, blah. It's also great. I always say blah, 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 blah when I mess up. But what I meant to say was all that stuff is so great. I love watching it. I love listening to it. And what I said yesterday, I'm one of the biggest fans of the network, even though I'm also on the network. Don't forget about the business plan contest. That's going to be coming up really quick. It is almost March. You have 1 month left to enter the business plan contest, where if you win, if you submit the best business plan by March 31st to me, by email, by link, however you get it to me, and I pick it, you get to be on the show. You get a free advertisement because we're going to go through your business plan and talk about all the things I loved about it, all the things that are all the reasons why I decided that yours was the best. And what better thing can you have than free advertising when you're starting a business? Also, you'll get a swag bag full of HTBT stuff. So don't miss that deadline. But if you do, I've had some people email me asking, like, I want to do it, but I think I'm going to miss the deadline. Well, you won't be in the contest. You won't be in the running for the prize. But I'd be more than happy to review it for you and give you any thoughts I have, any encouragements or critiques to help you along your way, because I really do want you to be successful. I want us to be a group of people that are authorities in their fields, that are empowered, enabled through their success to love people and most of all, love God. All right, so let's get into it. The first thing that you should know or do to find out if, or to find out to know, is find out if renting or buying is best for you. And this depends a lot on how long you're going to be, where you're at. Believe it or not, buying a home is kind of a permanent or a long-term plan. You might not end up making a good decision if you buy a house and then have to sell it the next year, especially with forecasting of the market going down. I think people are saying about 5% the market is going to go down. And we've talked about before with the big bubble that I think the Fed is creating. Don't miss that show a couple episodes ago. But one great way to do that is going to find a rent and versus buy calculator online. There's tons of great resources like that online that I'd really suggest you take a look at. One of them is this rent to buy calculator that I'm going to show you. I'm going to pull it up right now on my Mac. See, it's the first time I'm recording something on my Mac, so this should be interesting. So I went to Zillow. I think Zillow just has a great UX UI interface. It is also soon to be a place where you can buy homes. I think they've been running a pilot in Arizona, and they just fired their CEO and brought on a new one to help usher in this new era for Zillow, where they're no longer just going to be selling ads to agents, but they are going to be selling homes to you. And they have a buy-sell program Zillow is going to be a really great place in the next couple of years to look for a home. And we'll get into some of that in a second, if you should be looking for a real estate agent in person or utilizing a resource online. We'll get into that in a second. But right now, take a look at this rent versus buy calculator. But you can put where you live, and you can put how comfortable you are with your price. So basically, you're putting in the price range that you want. And then you're going to put in your down payment amount. It should be 20%, unless you're going for a mortgage that does not have PMI insurance. You definitely want to be putting down 20%. And then what is your comfortable amount of rent, or how much are you paying for rent today? If you don't have a house, if you're buying a house, maybe you're thinking about downsizing to renting a place. And it pulls up this really cool chart, and you can see I'm sliding around, and you can see how the chart interacts with that. So let's just say, there we go, we'll just put it at $450,000, 20% down, and we'll put rent at, let's just be 1.5K. So $1,500 a month for rent. And you're like, oh, those prices are ridiculous. Well, I'm from California and I live in Hawaii now, so if these are really overpriced, they seem really underpriced for me. And as you can see this chart, it's really cool. And then there's this slide at the bottom where you can see a year one, year two, year three, year four. And what it's doing is comparing how much you make, or how much, or how beneficial it is for you to buy versus rent. And you'll see the blue line is if you're in year one and you're only going to be in the house for a year, well, then it's a 40K plus rent. And they're averaging in taxes, all these other costs that you may not even necessarily think about in the beginning, besides just your mortgage. And as you go out, you can see when it becomes beneficial to buy a house. And that becomes year seven in this example. So go check out that calculator. It's really helpful. And along those same lines, you understanding and researching and knowing all of the costs that go into a house. Like I said, it's more than just the mortgage. You're going to have to start paying taxes that you don't normally pay when you give rent. You're going to have an HOA fee, which you are most likely you'll have an HOA fee. I feel like every new house nowadays has an HOA fee. Maybe you're having an older house and you don't have one, but then all the utilities you may not be paying during rent, trash, homeowners insurance. If you're buying a house with less than 20% down, then you probably have PMI insurance. You want to factor all those things in because you're going to have to pay them, and you don't want to be over your head with payments and if you can't afford it. The worst thing to do is to buy a house, feel like you have a good plan, feel like you bought an affordable house, and then have these fees come out of nowhere that you weren't expecting, these taxes, property taxes, and then realize that you can't afford the house you're in and you have to move. So make sure you understand all the costs going into a place. Now, just kind of something on the side, it's not really important, but some people don't know the difference between a real estate agent and a realtor. The only difference, there might be some other differences. The big difference is a real estate agent is no different than a realtor. A realtor is just a real estate agent that paid some money to be part of the National Association of Realtors. And that's what makes you a realtor. So don't be paying more in points percentage of commission that you're going to give them just because they're a realtor. A real estate agent can do the job for you. And also realize that those commissions that they're getting are negotiable. They don't have to charge you 6%, 3% from the buyer side, 3% from the seller side. It can be much less. And in fact, we are heading into a time with the digital economy where we will be paying much less. And in fact, there's a lot of businesses coming out where you can buy and sell property online, soon to be Zillow, Open Door, Purple Bricks, where they're competing on price, where it is a flat fee sometimes there's no commission, where you don't have to pay a real estate agent, but you can buy and sell your house online. Sometimes you can just sell your house to them. You don't have to find a buyer for a new house if you want to go to renting, depending on your situation. So don't think that you're stuck with that 6%. Though that percentage really sticks out. Now, That's more for selling a house as advice, but you might want to be thinking about that when you're negotiating as well and factoring that in when you're looking to buy a house. So the next point I want you to realize is that all of those documents that look like kind of standard docs that you would sign at closing are all contracts. And that's all they are. And if you've listened to the show, if you've listened to when I've talked about contracts, contracts are negotiable. They're flexible. They can be changed to fit your needs. So don't think that those docs that just look standard that you sign without reading can't be changed, can't be negotiated to give you a more favorable term. Look at those, read those, understand them, and look to see how you can leverage those to your advantage. Oftentimes, a seller doesn't understand that either, which means that you will have the advantage. The next thing I would say is know your credit score. Get pre-approved. You look way more legit to sellers and agents once you're pre-approved. And also, you will understand the interest rate that you are going to be paying, what your real costs are for a house. And then the next thing, along with that, along with how what you're pre-approved for and what rate you would be paying based on your credit score and how much you're going to put down and what kind of loan you're getting, is understanding how much you're really paying for a house. What you're paying for a house is not what is listed on the house, unless you're paying cash. But I'm assuming that you are not paying cash for a house, as those are more like investors. But for those of you who are looking to buy your first house or buying a house, a second house, and you're going to be getting a loan, the sell price of a house is not how much you're paying for the house. The sell price of the house is how much the seller is getting for the house, but not you as a buyer. And what do I mean? I'm going to pull up another graphic. We get two graphics in the show. Now, here is a great example for us to look at. The price here for this property is, let's just say you are spending $187,500 for this property. That's how much the asking price was, and you bought it for that price, and for some reason you didn't negotiate down, but that's neither here nor there. So you bought the house for $187,500. So you put 20% down, which is $37,500, and you ended up getting a loan for $150,000. Now take a look at this chart. You will see that you actually are making $213,000 and some change, $213,514 in total payments. But your loan was only $150,000. You ended up making 180 payments for $1,186. Now look at that graph. Notice what people don't often factor in when they're looking to buy a house is how much interest you're going to pay. And this is why people like Dave Ramsey says, make sure you do the 20% down for no PMI, but you also do a 15-year loan. And this is what this was too, in this example, is a 15-year loan. And you're still paying an exorbitant amount of interest. In fact, you're paying $63,000 in interest and some change. So what the real price is of what you're paying is actually your down payment plus the principal plus the interest on that loan, which is a much higher number. So if you see you bought this house for $187,500, you put the $37,500 down, what you really paid was $213,514 plus the down payment, the $37,500. So you thought you were buying a $190,000 house. Actually, you were buying a $251,000 house. Now, that's a big difference, especially because people go through shop buying homes looking at a price range, and then they find out that in the long run, over those 15 years, hopefully, they're actually paying a lot more because there's a ton of interest. You pay a lot of interest in a big loan like a home loan. Now, hardliners, conservatives, Dave Ramsey types will say, if you can't afford a 15-year loan, then you can't afford the house. I think that's what Dave Ramsey says. I've heard that said before. I'm not going to say that's him for sure. I don't want to put words in his mouth. I apologize for that in advance. Big fan of the guy. That's why I keep referencing him. And that is true, but I wouldn't even necessarily be against that. If you've paid down all your debts, if you don't have any obligations, student loans, credit cards, and you have saved up 3 or 4 months worth of living expenses in case you lose your job and you're looking to purchase a home, maybe you can get a sweet deal like a 30-year, no PMI, like Navy Federal Credit Union has, which is a really great deal. There's a, you pay a little higher in the interest rate, but no PMI, that really helps. And if you could do a 30-year loan, but understand that you're gonna just have to put in extra payments when you get a chance to, then I wouldn't be necessarily against that too. So I guess I'm a little more liberal than the more conservative types on that. It would sometimes, if you do the calculation like we did in the mortgage calculator and you see how much you can be saving from rent to buying a home over long term, if you're gonna be in the place for a long time, just know that in our example that we were seeing here, with the interest you're paying is going to be a substantially more over a 30-year loan. You're going to be paying a lot more money because you're paying for a longer loan. It's not just free. The cost of a loan for a 15-year loan is not the same as a 30-year loan. You're paying for those extra years. All right, enough on that. If you have any questions on that, please let me know because that's a really big deal. So make sure you're also factoring in like the HOAs and that goes along with the other costs of taxes. HOAs can be incredibly expensive and they have a lot of power. They can put a lien against your property if you default or for whatever reason, they give you so many fines that you don't pay. I've seen that a lot. And you, when you go to sell your house, you're gonna have like $100,000 in the HOA fees that you didn't pay and are accruing interest. I've seen that. I've seen over $100,000 in HOA fees that they had to settle before they could sell the house. Make sure you know those HOA fees. Make sure you're paying them. Make sure you're really nice to them because they can just make your life miserable. Understand your loan types, your fixed versus variable, what PMI is, your insurance that you have to pay to guarantee that you're not going to default on your home when you don't put 20% down. On most loans, not all loans have that. Like I said, Navy Federal has a loan that you don't have to do that. How many points you're paying, which is the percentage, your interest rate that they're gonna tack on top of the base interest rate. Don't buy a house for today, but for the future. And again, this goes along with you're buying for the long term. If you're buying a house, you're not buying a house because you're only gonna be there a couple years, unless you're thinking of investment strategies where you're gonna build on that and build more and more houses. Also, look beyond repairs and paint. And what I mean by that is you might get a really great deal on a house that needs paint, that needs repairs, and the asking price might be much lower than comparable properties or comps than a house that's fully painted and that has all the work done. Now, if let's just say a hypothetical that a house is $10,000 cheaper because it needs paint, because it needs some fixing up, than a comparable house, $10,000 cheaper. But all it would take is $5,000 in addition to buying the house to make it the same price. Well, you netted $5,000 then. So you saved basically $5,000 because you just had to wait a little longer to paint it and get the repairs and do it yourself. That is how you grow wealth, making decisions like that. So look beyond the paint, look beyond the repairs, and envision the house that you are gonna be in, how you can use it. You are gonna be in a far better advantage than those who can't look past those things. Another thing is verifying all the listing facts. Not all those are true all the time. You wanna make sure that everything they say, the amenities, the schools, the crime, all of those listings are accurate. Do your own research. Don't just trust what you see on the internet. And then finally, what I would suggest is go beyond just what you see in the house, in the open house when you're looking to buy a house. And also beyond what the appraiser is going to review and things like that. Look at the electrical, look at the plumbing, check the hot water heater, air conditioning, the heater, the furnace, whatever it is, depending on your house. I live in areas where I don't really have to worry about a heater. But make sure, because you don't want to buy a house and then notice that like your center island is crooked, or you know your air conditioning doesn't really work and you need to spend thousands of dollars to fix it. I mean, if you go into it knowing that and you negotiate that into the price where you get a discount, and like I said, you get it repaired and you repair it cheaper than the discount was, then by all means go for it. But the worst thing that you could happen, or the worst thing that can happen for you in buying a new house is you're excited, you move in, and then just things start breaking. and you have to repair things, and you can't sleep because it's like 90 degrees in your bedroom because your air condition doesn't cool off. I'm one of those guys, I need it like 70 degrees at most to fall asleep. So don't be that. You don't want to end up in a house that's broken and you paid for a house that doesn't have any broken parts. So for those of you who asked me about this topic, I hope that really helps. If you have any more questions, please reach out to me. I'm more than happy to hear from you, matt@howtobuildatent.com or howtobuildatent on the social media sites. And we will talk to you next week. Have a good weekend. God bless.